podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Welcome to episode 151 of the Unholy Trinity Podcast, brought to you in association with Sports Social, the UK's only dedicated sports podcast network, and also Fanatics. It's great to sit here on a Sunday morning after Everton have won a game comfortably by 3-0 against Crystal Palace. Probably the performance of the season for ourselves, and vitally important after three straight defeats to get back to winning ways. But Pete, we were there. How impressed were you?
Like you say, my performance of the season, they were sensational. They're absolutely brilliant. And I think, you know, you look at the previous three games. I mean, bar the United game, for me, I thought we played really, really well against Spurs and Newcastle. And I thought we were unlucky in different ways, in different elements of the game. So, you know, that's the right way to take pressure off the squad, isn't it? Go out 3-0, real team performance. And I thought some of the football we played, especially in the first half, it was just brilliant to watch. So slick, really quick. Consistently playing the right pass. It's hard to know where to start. There were so many good performances, so many strong performances, but one of the standouts for me was Onana, because I think when Everton have tried to sort of go into that, style of playing out from the back, either with a single or a double pivot, and he had both Onana and Gay, Onana and Garner in that sort of almost holding role, or turning and facing the defence and picking up the ball. And Onana was so crisp with his passing. When he went back, he went back quickly and decisively. And I think sometimes when the fans have got frustrated in the past, it's been when it's been a bit slow, or people start to take four or five touches and then have a turn and go back. And I think it was just that decisiveness and that sharpness. Every time it just reset us. You know, if we went forward and then we had to go back, and you could always hear a couple little mumbles, we were so quick at resetting and getting going again. And we just didn't give Crystal Palace an inch. They just didn't stand the chance. It was fantastic. And I hope now that's, more of the Everton we're going to see. And I think fans need to remember we're 12 games in, and I don't think we've seen our strongest team yet. You know, that's probably the first game where, Calvert-Lewin started the game, and he's had a bit of fitness, a little bit of sharpness. I mean, his leg was still covered in all kinds of physio tape. You know, it's hard to know how much of a risk we're still taking on him. But, would our strongest team have Patterson at right back? Unsure.
I think that's the only question, isn't it? If you look at that 11 yesterday, I think that's the only one for me who was on any given day. I mean, by the way, Seamus Coleman was fantastic, and I said it on social media. Every single time we play against Crystal Palace, he has Zaha in his pocket every single time. You know, he was terrific, I thought, and he's got his number. He's just one of those players who you come up against players, don't you, at times who, you get the better of all the time, and that's his. And Zaha, I think, must hate playing against Seamus Coleman. But Patterson's probably the only one for me who would come in and you'd really say that'll be our strongest 11. But the return of Dominic Calvert-Lewin over the last couple of weeks, we saw him start against Newcastle in midweek, which overall wasn't as horrific a performance as I think people made out. We had, elements of control in the game. We were probably the better side, I thought, for long periods without posing any kind of attack and threat. But Lee, it was great to see Dom obviously start again yesterday, showing obviously he's ticking off those minutes and getting fitness under his belt. But that first goal now, obviously since he's come back, typical, I would say, of Dominic Calvert-Lewin, and shades of a certain Romelu Lukaku for me.
It's not a bad shout, that, is it? No, I just said to you boys before we started recording that a fit Calvert-Lewin makes this a completely different side, doesn't it? A completely different side. Now, for all the endeavour you get from Mope, who's obviously a new signing coming in, finding his way around the team, Dom just gives us a completely different dimension, doesn't he, the way we can play. I mean, Lampard said it himself, you know, we can play through the lines, he can hold it up, he can run in behind, he's got the pace and he's got the athleticism to spin defenders and run in behind. You know, you can go direct at him if we need to, and he can either bring it down on his chest or he can knock it on, or, you know, he's just, when he's fully fit like that, he's an absolute nightmare to play against. And not only that, the way he took that goal there, I mean, if he can bring that into his game, you know, that, we've always said, I mean, Dom just needs service. He's a one-touch finisher. He needs service. There, you know, the way he's won the ball off Milivojevic, because, you know, with our press in the first half in particular was outstanding, led by Iwobi in particular. And then, you know, quick 1-2 with Iwobi. And then that little Megs there, you can't underestimate that. That's a lovely touch, that. You know, he's you know, Gay's one of the best young centre-halves in the league. He's been getting rave reviews the last season. And he's megged him and manhandled him to the ground, basically, get out of my way, and then buried it in the bottom corner. I mean, that's fantastic for the lad. And I'm really happy for him that he's got that goal, because last thing you want is to go, you know, 4, 5, 6 games, and if he does stay fit, he doesn't get a goal. Do you know what I mean? And then the fans start going on his back again. But to me, that's Dom in full flow, and I thought he was outstanding yesterday. He occupied both of those centre-halves, and he was brilliant. And I just want to give a shout-out to Frank there as well for making those subtle changes. You know, you guys are both right. Against Newcastle, it wasn't a horrendous performance. We were the better side until they got the goal in the first half without being spectacular. We were controlling most of the game. Then the goal rocked us a little bit, got them into it, and we sort of hung on a little bit, didn't we, end of the first half. But then we controlled pretty much all the second half, you know, in a tough place to go, night game in Newcastle. And we controlled most of that second half. And we just lacked that little bit of sort of, I think Frank's caught between sort of two stools of being solid and hard to beat, but then taking a bit of a risk and putting bodies forward. And then yesterday, I think we saw the blueprint yesterday for Lampard's Everton, and the fact that we were solid still, but then we still, you know, we were flooded bodies forward at the right times. And like Pete said, you know, movement off the ball, the passing was crisp, you know, and that for me is Lampard's Everton right there. And if he could get that, obviously it's not going to happen every game, and we're going to have bumps in the road, we're going to come across better teams. But I think that is a little window into what Lampard wants to create with this side, I think, yesterday.
Well, that's it. The shift, you know, like you say, the subtle changes to this sort of 4-2-3-1 formation, where Alex Iwobi out of the midfield three was the one who was playing more advanced. Noticeable, I thought, when Palace were playing out from the back all the time. And to be fair, they didn't look particularly comfortable. But I think a lot of that was down to the fact that both Calvert-Lewin and Iwobi were constantly in the face, pressing at the right moments, putting under pressure. And Iwobi was the one who was breaking from that midfield three. And, you know, it goes to show again how important he is to this side and to us as an attacking threat. You know, two more assists for him. We'll discuss, obviously, the third goal shortly, but obviously the first goal for Dom, you know, great play from Iwobi to put it into his feet. Great touch, great finish. But it's those little things, those little changes. But I also thought in that shift as well, yesterday, we saw a little bit more of Mikhailenko, Pete, getting forward, because one of the biggest things that people sort of throw towards him is defensively, he's solid. We think, you know, he's done really well. He's settled. But in an attacking sense, we don't really see him, do we? But I thought, especially second half, obviously heavily involved with that second goal, it allowed Mikhailenko to get forward a little bit more as well in that little bit of a shift of formation.
Definitely. And I think when you do play a 4-2-3-1 in that way, you need your fullbacks to get higher up the pitch. And it might not be his natural game, but I think fans need to remember again how young he is. You know, really, this is his first proper season, isn't it, in Premier League football. I think sometimes some of his decision-making just needs to be a little bit more snappy or a little bit more confident. Calvert-Lewin made a great run in the second half where he sort of peeled off and then started to get in front of his man, and he just needed that early ball down the left. And you could see Mikhailenko sort of looked twice and hesitated and then didn't play it. And then when he did play it, it was just far too late. And Calvert-Lewin gave him a bit of an old-fashioned rollicking, let's say. So, you know, there's still elements of his game he needs to work on, but it's definitely pleasing to see that he's starting to have maybe a bit more confidence or to get pushed a bit more to add that to our attacking game. And, you know, hopefully, you know, if he can do a bit of work with the coaches and work on his delivery and his final ball and some of his decision making, you know, that'll add another element to what we bring.
Yeah, I've been quite vocal about Mykolenko recently, you know, and the fact that I think you boys are bigger supporters of him than me. I think he's very solid defensively. He gives you, you know, you can tell, as we've said before, you can tell he's a centre-half converted to a left-back. Defensively, he's more comfortable. I think going the other way, he does like you just alluded to there, Pete. There was a specific moment in the Newcastle game where Dom pulled off back post and Mykolenko had it on the left side and he just hit the floatiest cross you've ever seen and Pope just came and grabbed it, you know, like picking peas, basically. Calvert-Lewin was fuming and I'm just casting my mind back to them when we scored that goal against Liverpool. Remember when Calvert-Lewin pulled onto Robertson and Digne picked him out brilliantly and then he jumped above Robertson, obviously, and buried it in the bottom corner. I think that's the side of his game there, you know, where Dom makes these subtle movements to find a yard in the box and he's got to be able to put that cross in and find him. Will he ever get there? We don't know. I mean, for me, I think we've got to use him in certain games and then, you know, and then maybe look at the likes of Inagre maybe in games where we're going to have more of the ball possibly and we are going to come under less pressure. Like, for example, I thought the second half against Newcastle, when we were controlling the game, that was screaming out maybe for Vinagre to give him 30 minutes to maybe skin a fullback and whip it in, because that's his game, isn't it? He likes to get to the byline and put crosses in, which is the opposite of Mykolenko, who likes to sort of be defensively solid. So, but I was pleased for him yesterday, and he was unlucky not to get a goal, wasn't he? Mike, obviously you'll touch on it now, but that move for the second goal, I mean, they showed it, thank God, on Match of Day in its entirety from Jordan Pickford's kickoff. And it's interesting what you said there, Pete. Unfortunately, I couldn't make the game yesterday, but there was murmurings, and you could hear it through the TV, actually, when they were playing out from the back, especially when it went back to Pickford from Cody, and they were pressing us. And they were like, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? Yeah, you know, I mean, just go long. But then, to be fair, you know, Pickford played a great ball to Coleman, and well, the rest is history after that. It was a flowing move after that, wasn't it?
But I think, though, it's decision-making, isn't it? You know, with that kind of situation there, the manager alluded to it after the game, and he said about, you know, the working on these kind of things. And I think quite, you know, more often than not, even with Mope up top, we've been going long quite often, and we were saying, it's not going to stick. He's not that kind of player. And then you see that yesterday, Palace probably allowed us at times to play out from the back. But you see, there was an element of comfort, I would say, from the players' perspective in and around me. And the paddock that fell next to me was having a heart attack. And some of the noise out of his mouth when that was going on was I couldn't repeat on the show today. But he was literally on the edge of his seat with that. And it's because we're not used to it, because every single time we try and do it, it tends to break down. So, you know, we make a mistake, we give the ball away. But I thought,
Mike, just on that point, Mike, sorry to interject. So this is an interesting point. Do you think it's a Goodison thing? Like, you got, you know, other teams go to other clubs and like, you know, if, for example, you went to Arsenal and watched that, or, you know, teams like City, obviously, City's a big example. You know what I mean? Because do you think we're just used to, look, we don't mess around with it, just go long. You know what I mean? Do you think that's what it is? So therefore, then that feeds onto the players, who then obviously sometimes panic and give it away. Do you know what I mean?
I think most definitely from any home crowd, really. You know, when you're not used to playing a particular way. You know, we used to pass out from the back under Martinez. We've done it quite often under Carlo Ancelotti. But it all depends on a level of comfort in terms of the personnel, the players. So if they're doing it week in, week out and looking comfortable doing it, then the crowd then will probably settle down. It's a fact that it's now coming back in. Yesterday was probably the first time where it's really worked particularly well and led to a fantastic goal. So it's both fans getting used to it. So obviously if fans are nervous and you get those murmurings from the stands, it will impact the players. And it was good to see them just crack on with what they had to do. They knew what they were doing. You know, Jordan Pickford is one of the best in the league in terms of his distribution, which I thought yesterday, by the way, even that pass aside, I thought his distribution was very, very good. He played some terrific long balls, which were finding the man. You know, we see sometimes with Jordan Pickford that, you know, he looks at time, hit the flanks, doesn't he? And it goes too long. He was on the money yesterday, but that goal, you know, it was just lovely, lovely football involving a lot of players, you know, from the, obviously, the three defenders, then Jordan Pickford, Iwobi's got a touch, Calvert-Lewin's got a touch, Demarai Gray, Onana into Mikhailenko, you know, unlucky not to score, by the way. He did everything right, put it across the goalkeeper. And there's Anthony Gordon to slot the ball in the back of the net, you know, about 53 yards onside. But the linesman decides he's going to throw his flag up, even though they're told in tight, and that wasn't tight, but in tight situations, you keep it down. Because what did it do? You know, the flag goes up, Anthony Gordon turns around, sees the flag's gone up, the noise dies down really quickly, and then you're sitting there for 2 minutes then waiting for someone to make an obvious decision, which should have been made by the on-field officials. That's what drives me nuts. But take nothing away from the goal. That's probably, you know, one of the best goals I've seen at Goodison Park. I know it was a tapping, but the move itself, it was going back to me to sort of Larissa under David Moyes. That kind of football. It was nice to see the players have confidence in playing football. And, you know, because Palace were obviously trying to push on and trying to grab the equaliser, it allowed us to play a little bit more football, have a little bit more space. And listen, the players did it particularly well. But it was just a pleasure, I think, to watch us get that second goal. And I don't know about you, people, at that particular point of 2-0, I said to you on the way home yesterday, I settled and I thought, listen, we're not going to lose this game now. I always get feelings with Everton. And, you know, against United, we scored really early. And I thought, that's too early. These are a good side. You know, I don't fancy us. But yesterday, even before the game, something in the waters just said, we'll win this. And when it went to 2-0, Pete, that level of comfort, I think, came into the ground as well. I mean, they were singing in the guards a particular song about Everton winning and Liverpool losing. That was a little bit early because it's this Everton we're talking about. But the confidence, I think, sort of came to the stand, didn't it?
Yeah, and it probably came after Palace's strongest period of the game. You know, at the start of the second half, they came out for the first 10 minutes. They did try and put us under a bit of pressure. I thought we defended absolutely brilliantly, by the way. You know, similar to the second half of the Southampton game, there was some, you know, really fantastic committed challenges flying in there that, you know, probably stopped us conceding a scrappy equaliser. And again, that was the sort of the basis, the platform, I think, for going out and getting that second goal. But it was such a brilliant goal, like you say, for so many reasons. Not only did it come from playing out from the back and start, you know, it was a real team goal, but it started on the right, goes up, and somehow we end up with this mad overload on the right-hand side where we've got like Calvert-Lewin, Gordon, Gray, and I think Iwobi might be the one that feeds to the sort of the initial pass. And then, like I said, I said in the stadium, number one, what is he flagging at? What did he flag for? At what point did he think there was an offside? And two, yeah, why did he get his flag up in the first place? Because they're not supposed to. He's supposed to let play go on. I don't know at what point he raises his flag, whether he flags before he puts the ball in the net or whether he flags after. But if the referee blows, it doesn't go to VAR.
Yeah. It was after. So Anthony Gordon scored and ran away. And when he's sort of heading towards the corner flag, the flag goes up. So by the time he turns around, anything, so not a goal. But if you look at the footage from Frank Lampard, Lampard's seen the replay, and when Gordon comes over, he said, listen, it's a goal. Don't worry about it. It's a goal. So, you know, this is it. But that really, it kills a moment, doesn't it? Because it deserved much more from a crowd reaction than it actually got because of how good the move was.
But then the irony is, without VAR, it'd have been disallowed. He'd have flagged it. So it's just like, you know, it's just a shambles, isn't it? It's a shambles because, you know, we've said this before, you know, it's a passion killer, especially when you're live at the game and you know, a lovely move like that deserves, you know, an instant reaction in terms of a goal. And then, you know, for the linesman to flag that. I mean, Gordon did go offside in the initial part of the move and then came back onside. But I mean, yeah, but your instant reaction when you see that is going, then is there something else that's going on? You know what I mean? It's not just the Gordon offside. Is there a foul in the build up or is there, you know, anything goes through your mind?
Just,
you
know, in case. The Wally, the officials had a nightmare yesterday. I thought they were so poor.
The ref was awful, wasn't he? He was awful, the ref, wasn't he?
Again, he couldn't get hold of the game, the ref, and he was so inconsistent, wasn't he?
Well, look at the biggest one, wasn't it? It was the biggest one was the head injury situation in the first half. when we had a corner. There was a, I think it was Connor Cody went down, didn't he? He clashed heads with a Crystal Palace player, and the ball came to Anthony Gordon out on our right. He blew the whistle, which is fine, head injury, we understand you've got to stop it. So Anthony Gordon turns around right by me, says to the linesman, it's our ball, I've got the ball, and he's nodding, yeah, yeah. And then when play resumes, the referee gives the ball back to the Palace goalkeeper and says, right, on you go. And you can see the reactions of the players straight away. Second half, wasn't it? Similar situation where Palace, there was a head injury. Same kind of thing. And the referee so gives them the ball back, as should have really happened with us. And it's those kind of inconsistencies where it drives you mad. And I can't remember it was this week. I saw a quote somewhere where somebody said, the problem you've got with the referees now is that they're not officiating the games, and their reliance, and we said it before, is on VAR. They just rely on the fact that they've got cameras everywhere, and that will correct any kind of decisions not made or poor decisions. And it's a poor mentality, I think, from the officials. But you know, you had that situation. You had the how players didn't get sent off in that melee, by the way. You know, Zaha is tackle on Anthony Gordon, which led to it all. It was building, it was bubbling. You know, he was crying all game. He does it all the time. And for a talented player, for me, so frustrating to watch. If he played for us, and we've been linked with him numerous times, he would frustrate the life out of me, Zaha, because he's too busy remonstrating every single time somebody wins the ball off him. But, you know, his tackle on Gordon, it was late for me. It was late. The ball had gone, and it was in the air. What wasn't a great tackle. Then you've got that melee. And the referees didn't get control of it in any way, shape, or form. And how players stayed on the pitch, I just don't know. But this is what we're getting used to week in, week out, and we shouldn't really have to spend so much time discussing the officials, but we do, because the level is absolutely horrendous. And how it gets sorted out, I mean, Lee, I know you're a big advocate, as we all are, for getting them mic'd up so we can hear the decision making. I mean, what's happened to apparently where they were going to release the audio from referees after games. What's happened to that? Because that's just gone away, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, the dream is, what's the name of that referee? Probably one of our best referees. He's coming over from the States, isn't he, to take over this?
Howard Webb, he's coming back.
Howard Webb, yeah, he's coming back, isn't he, after the World Cup, I think. So hopefully we'll start to see some changes, because he's obviously gone over to the States and revamped their system there. And it's such a weird, you know, you've got loads of people on different sides of the camp with VAR. You've got people saying, yeah, we need it. Got others saying, yeah, we don't. You've got others saying, yeah, it's not the referees. It's not the VAR. It's the referees. And it's the people operating it. It's still all a bit of a mess. It's improved. It has improved, but it's still a bit of a mess. You know, and I've watched bits of the Champions League this season. They've got that auto offside, haven't they? Mm. Where it's obviously all the chips and the ball and all that. I've seen bits of it, and it seems to be a lot smoother than, you know, obviously the system we've got now in the Premier League. And obviously they're going to trial that in the World Cup as well. So we'll all be watching those games. So let's see how that goes down. But I think it's just overkill sometimes, isn't it? You know, it is overkill. But we don't want to be talking about this too much, you know, on the back of a you know, a really complete performance by Everton. But I agree with you. I thought the referee, you know, handled the game badly, and he caused half the problems himself by not taking control of it. And but Tarkowski, you know, I love him and Cody. You know, they're just so snide, aren't they? Every time there's a kickoff, I think Tarkowski ran half the length of the pitch, didn't he?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, taking on Mateta, he looks like a UFC fighter. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like absolutely unbelievable. But I mean, Tarkowski is everything, Pete. You love in a centre half, isn't he? Absolutely everything, isn't he?
It's fantastic. He's brilliant. Some of his challenges yesterday were absolutely spot on. I can't remember, was it Mateta that he tackled in the corner toward the end of the game?
Yeah,
he won the goal kick as well.
Yeah,
it was. It's such a brilliantly timed challenge.
Yeah, but he's a proper snide, though, isn't he? He's a proper snide as well, though, isn't he? I loved it.
He's clever, and that's what you need from your centre half, isn't it? That's what you need from a leader.
Not many people. Well, I say not many. When he first came in, it was always a case of, you know, why are we bringing in players from sides that are being relegated, etc., etc. I'd argue he's probably been our best signing over the course of the summer. You know, him and Cody have been terrific. I think with with Tarkowski. I just think that he brings another level again because of that. He's probably more snide than Conor Cody. He's the one who will cheerlead and he'll wind people up. And you know, there's that great picture I put up this morning of when it all kicked off, and Tarkowski was over there, and he's got two Palace players literally grabbing him by the shirt and the throat, and he's smirking, laughing his head off. He's that kind of player, and it works. And we've lacked that kind of character for many years. To be fair to Seamus Coleman, he's done his best over the years, and I think he's got better in the last 18 months, 2 years. If you're, you know, getting in the referees' faces, did it again yesterday. You know, with Zaha again, him and Pickford winding him up. You know, when Coleman put a great tackle in the second half, you know, put the ball for a corner. And to be fair to Zaha in that situation, don't think he died. It's just a great tackle. He won a corner. Pickford was in his face. Coleman was in his face. But it's all part of the game. We've been too nice for too long. But the two new lads who've come
Lampard
in.
Lampard said that, didn't he, mate? Did you see that?
Lampard said in
one of his post-matches, obviously does several across different stations and that, but he said, I try and encourage that with my teams, with my players, to basically stand up for each other and get in the referee, you know, not screaming in his face, but, you know, having a presence around the referee, around contentious decisions or backing up your teammates. And the word he used, actually, interestingly, was that Cody, he was asked, do you think, by Gary Lineker on Match of the Day, do you think there's a late shout for Tarkowski to maybe go to the World Cup? We're short, you know, at centre-half, you know, especially with the way him and Cody have been playing together. And Frank was just, you know, full of compliments. And obviously, basically said, those two have revolutionised our dressing room. He used that word, revolutionised. Well, that's a big word to use, isn't it? You know, the fact they've come in and they've completely transformed the dynamics in the dresser in a very short space of time. It just shows you, doesn't it? You know, when you get two absolute out-and-out leaders, you know, strong characters who've been around a bit, played the game at the highest level, it's amazing how that can have an impact on a dressing room. It's more than you think, really. You know, obviously it is on the pitch. And you know, let's be honest, their form on the pitch on the whole has been fantastic. But, you know, that has a huge impact. You can see it in the players now. The amount of games we played last season, even if we started well or whatever, every time I felt we conceded, we'd wilt a little bit, wouldn't we? We'd be like soft. Now I just feel like it almost like it's water off a duck's back with them now. And I think a big part of that is them too.
Well, we said it in the summer, didn't we? When it comes to recruitment, you also have to buy, as well as obviously ability, on player character, and which we haven't done for many, many years. But I think this summer especially, we've seen that definitely being instilled in the recruitment process for me. And the, you know, those two lads at centre-half are a testament to that. And they've been obviously terrific signings for us so far. But one of our other summer signings who's taken a bit of time to settle, but, you know, he's played a little bit of a bit part. Got another goal again yesterday, and what a goal it was. You know, Dwight McNeil comes on, gets sort of 15 minutes or so, 15, 20 minutes, playing off the left-hand side. And something which we don't see particularly from him either, Peter, is, you know, he carried the ball really well. Didn't he beat a man as well, driving at the defence? And that one too with Alex Iwobi was another level. We know what Iwobi's all about, by the way, but listen, that little back heel and the movement from Dwight McNeil as well to carry his run on. I think richly deserved and the kind of football that we hope we see more of under Frank Lampard.
It's the cherry on top, wasn't it? I mean, like you say, with McNeil, he might not be known for his pace, but I think he beats about three players there when he goes. I mean, and for him to have the confidence, I think he started the move from about 40 yards out, I think. He'd go past about three players, little knock inside. Yeah, the back heel from Iwobi is just, I mean, it's just class, isn't it? And then, yeah, he just wallops it past the goalkeeper. But another lovely team goal. And I think I said to you after the game, you know, that's the kind of problem we want to have. Subs coming off the bench and doing something like that, you know, contributing to the game, scoring a goal, you know, be brilliant for him again, you know, lifting his confidence, you know, pushing the players in the starting 11, you know, gives Lampard something to think about, doesn't it, for the next game, you know, and that's what we want. I think that's what we've lacked for about at least two seasons now. How often do we look at the team that's starting and look at the bench and think, oh, you know, we've not really got anyone there that can come off and affect this game if we're not winning it, you know, or if we're chasing the game or we need a goal. Who's going to come off? And so who's going to come on to replace someone on the pitch and have an impact or make an effect. And I think it's really good to have players like Dwight McNeil, who, you know, might not be in our, let's say, firm strongest 11, or might not be in the fans' pick of an 11, but can still come off and, you know, show a bit of class or a bit of quality and can still change a game. And again, it just adds another dimension to us, doesn't it?
I thought McNeil, when he came on, was played very well. It's weird because you're right, he hasn't got any pace, but he moves nicely with the ball at his feet, if you know what I mean. Sort of glides a little bit with it, doesn't he? And he's one of those players, a bit like McFadden in a way. If you know, we always said if McFadden had Giggs's pace, then he would be a top player, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, he didn't quite have that burst to get away from people. But no, I thought, you know, I was really chuffed for the lad, and yeah, I said afterwards, I mean, it was almost a very, and this is meant as a compliment, by the way. It's like a Moyes-esque Everton that I saw yesterday in parts, if you know what I mean. Like, hard to beat, worked their absolute balls off in the game. Everyone sprinting, but then also with a sprinkle of talent on the pitch as well. You know, I thought that Iwobi back heel was very Pienaar-esque, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In terms of, like, you know, just that little bit of quality there. You know, that's an instinct thing, that, and you know, you do that sort of thing when you're playing with confidence, and you know, and that touch by Iwobi is just outstanding. That if that doesn't win goal of the month, then I don't know what will, because that's an absolute class goal. You know, there's movement as well, there's movement off the ball there, and then to have the awareness. You know, how many people, you know, you go to football sometimes to see things like that, don't you? To see how many people would have done a back heel in that situation now, or a little, you know. A little bit of skill like that, little flick. I can't think of hardly any. You know what I mean? Most people there would have tried to take it on and maybe try to squeeze it in with your left foot or something. But that's just absolutely outstanding bit of play from Iwobi there, and another assist for him again. Two assists again, and I think it's only De Bruyne now that's ahead of him in terms of assists in the Premier League. And that, I mean, that says it all, doesn't it?
Well, in the Premier League so far, 12 games, 5 assists, 1 goal for Alex Iwobi, 55% goal involvement in terms of Everton and our goals. This shows
in a team that's not been scoring many goals. You know what I mean? So massive credit to him.
So he's certainly on to get double digits in terms of assists. And then in the League Cup, he got the assist as well. So it's 13 games, 6 assists, 1 goal. So it's a really impressive return for Alex Iwobi. And you know, throw a few more goals in if you can, get to double figures in terms of assists. You know, it's going to be, hopefully, you know, it's the signs of a fantastic season, and Ritzy deserved, and I can't praise him enough, because for me, he's an absolute joy to watch. He's an absolute joy to watch, and we've said it time and again, but he's absolutely turned his Everton career around in the space of probably 6-7 months, and it's fantastic to see. But it was a great day at Goodison yesterday. You know, it's great to get a win. It's great to get a clean sheet. You know, defensively we deserved it. You know, we looked really solid. You know, players putting the bodies on the line. Mikhailenko took one in a sore spot. You know, fantastic block. He got up, by the way, until the ball went out, and then went back down again for a good few minutes to try and work through that pain. But it shows you what we're all about, and you know, we are united. And we certainly, that was certainly the performance of the season for ourselves, and long may that continue. You know, we've got three more league games now until the World Cup, one in the Cup as well. So can we go through those games unbeaten? Let's keep on picking up points, and then see where it takes us into the second half of the season. But great win, and then it's now all eyes on the trip next week to Fulham to see Marco Silva's Fulham. I haven't seen him for a while, but we will discuss that after this short break. Welcome back to the second part of today's Unholy Trinity podcast. And the game next weekend, we are off to freshly promoted Fulham, to Craven Cottage. Most people say it's one of the best aways because of where it's located, right on the Thames. It's a lovely, lovely walk up the Thames, a couple of pubs and into the ground. So anyone going there, you will have a lovely day out by all accounts, hopefully topped off by an Everton win. But Lee, what have you made of Fulham this season? They've obviously got Marco Silva in charge, had a really good season in the Championship last season. Question mark have always remained over Mitrovic as one example, but he started the season pretty well. Have you been impressed with the transition that they've made to the Premier League?
I think they've been brilliant, mate. I think Silva, I think we as a collective, I mean, were one of the last few sticking up for Silva towards the end of his time at Everton, weren't we? Sort of the last of the Mohicans boys, weren't we, in terms of supporting him? There's definitely a coach there. There's maybe an argument, maybe the Everton job was a bit too big for him at the time, you know, especially when the pressure started coming on him. But there's clearly a coach there. Some of the football we played at times under him were brilliant. It was brilliant as well. Let's not forget that. And I remember watching Fulham first game of the season against Liverpool at Craven Cottage. And, you know, everybody was expecting Liverpool to steamroll them. You know, they'll walk this game. They've just beat City in the Community Shield. They'll walk this. Fulham were outstanding that day. Outstanding. The way they were so brave in pressing Liverpool high up the pitch. And, you know, should have gone on to win it, shouldn't they? You know what I mean? They really should have. But, you know, massive credit to Silva there. Okay, look, the job, he's not going to be under as much of a microscope as he was at Everton. Maybe he has found the right home to sort of show how good he is. But, you know, they came up last season. I think he was the highest ever goal scorers in the Championship, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, scored over 100 goals, didn't they? Which was, you know, really impressive. Obviously, Mitrovic got about 40 in all comps. And he's a handful. He is a handful. You know, you can say what you want about Mitrovic, but he started the season brilliant for them, and he's important to the way they play. He's an all-round centre-forward. He'll put his body on the line. Yeah, and he's got quality as well. You know, people have always questioned his ability. Can he do it in the Premier League? Well, for me, so far, yes. He has done it in the Premier League. And, you know, they've just come off the back of a really good win, haven't they, in the week as well. Played really well against Villa. And, you know, just really massively impressed with the way they've started the season. But, you know, for a lot of people, they've been a banker to go down. And at the moment, you know, with the way they've been playing and where they're sitting in the league, you wouldn't say that, would you? And that's the biggest compliment you can give them.
Yeah, and the home form is good. 11 of the points have come at home from six games. So Craven Cottage is proving to be a little bit of a fortress for them as well. So it's going to be a difficult trip for us to make, I think. Obviously, the confidence we can take from the game yesterday, Pete, it will be massive. I think, you know, we mentioned the little formation shift that we saw allowing Alex Iwobi to be the more forward of the three central midfielders. So it should give Everton a little bit of confidence, I think, going into an away game as well. Because it's not the most hostile of places is a Craven Cottage, you would say, Pete. You go to some places around the country and you know what you're going to get. I mean, Newcastle was an example in the week. You go to Elland Road and it's hostile. Craven Cottage is a little bit more, I'd probably say, laid back than other away grounds.
Yeah, that's kind of your mic. I mean, like, I've never been to Craven Cottage. I'd love to go because it does look like a really intriguing stadium. And like you say, you know, fantastic location. But they're a funny club, aren't they, Fulham? Because they're sort of known for, you know, having a lot of almost, like, you know, celebrity fans. I think that they have a fan base. I'm not going in on Fulham's fan base, but they seem to have a fan base that are just happy to be there. You know, happy to be there for the experience. Well, you know what I mean.
I know what you're saying.
You know, whereas us Evertonians can, you know, lose sleep for 2 weeks after a bad performance. But I think with Fulham, I completely agree with what you both said. But they're so reliant on Mitrovic. And I think when he's been missing, I suppose a little bit like us with Calvert-Lewin, that they're a different animal, and they're not able to play the same way. So if we're able to keep him quiet, you know, I think that's the way to beat them, to get at them. And they've got a back four that can be got at. So if, you know, Calvert-Lewin could take a bit of confidence from the amazing performance he put in against Palace, you know, that's really in our favour. And I think we're due an away performance to match that home one yesterday, aren't we?
I think Pereira from, you know, United's been a very good signing, good player. He showed himself to be one of their best players, one of the most creative. I think Willian is a cute signing as well, by the way. I think Willian is, you know, obviously he's not quite the Willian of Chelsea a few years ago in his pomp, but he still causes problems. He's still got that, you know, quick feet, that little shimmy, and he's got a great strike on him. You know, we're going to have to be careful there. I mean, I know you said Patterson is training, hopefully he'll be back. I still think he'll go with Coleman now we've got basically a week's rest, because he'll be, you know, it's likely he'll be coming up against Willian. And you know, there's one thing as Coleman's showing against Zahar there, you know, he's not the force he was going forward, but he is still defensively, you know, very, very solid in terms of 1v1s, and we'll need that against Willian on that side. Obviously got a former blue as well at left back, haven't we, in terms of Anthony Robinson, who's been, you know, brilliant for them, really. Silva's obviously put his trust in him. The lads, you know, he's always been an athlete, hasn't he, getting up and down that line. The question was, did he ever have the quality? And again, I'm happy for him. He settled into that team and he's done well. So, you know, us going there, like you said, Mike, strong home record. It's not going to be a walk in the park, this. They're playing with confidence. You know what I mean? They're creating lots of chances as well. You know, a lot of the times they're getting double figures in terms of shots on goal and things like that as well. So, you know, it's not as if they're going to sit off and then just expect those to try and break them down here. They're going to have a go. So we're going to have to be at our best to try and get something. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It should be a pretty entertaining game. I reckon there'll be some goals.
Yeah, and we've shown obviously yesterday that we can certainly pose an attacking threat, which was one of the big questions that I asked in the week, in regards to, you know, how can we address this issue? Would the manager look at going two up top to change things up a little bit, which obviously didn't happen. So that sort of little change, I think, will bring about that confidence, which hopefully makes for a good game. We keep our solid look at the back. As you say, Nathan Patterson, he is back in full training by all accounts. The manager expects him, I think, to be in and around things next weekend. But like you say, I think Seamus Coleman, based on his performance yesterday, which I thought was terrific, as I said earlier on, I think he'll get the nod. But will be good to have Nathan Patterson back in the mix. And, you know, with a few games left before the World Cup break, hopefully he can get a few minutes under his belt. Obviously, Mason Holgate is back as well, but another option, which is good to have. Ben Godfrey looks to be on the road to recovery and is expected to get some under 21 football as well over the coming weeks, which is also positive. Yerry Mina, I've got no idea. I've got no idea if we'd ever see him again. I've got to be honest.
He's been groomed for January to go.
I think you're right. Yeah,
they can't risk him playing, getting injured again, and then not being able to sell him in January. I think he'll be going in January 100%. Yeah,
I think you're right. I think you're right, and that's the thing, isn't it? We've got to make sure that, you know, with certain players, we've got to protect certain investments and try and get some money out of certain deals. And he's probably one who, like you say, I think it's probably a bit of common sense as we look at that particular approach, is that he is an asset that we can get rid of. But it's too big to gamble on him because his injury record is so poor. Who's going to want to give him 100 grand a week? I just don't know. You know, if you're getting 15 games a season from him, that's not really worth it. It's a sit to many sides, but it could be the last that we've seen of Yerry Mina, who knows? But it would be good to get obviously these other couple of lads back in before the World Cup. But let's round off with our predictions if we can. Lee, what are we saying?
Like I said, I do think you would never have said this before we played Palace, would you? I mean, but I do think there'll be goals. As I said, I think Fulham are going to come on to us, and you know, the game where I think will be quite open. So it's just a case again, will we have the quality? Hopefully Dom stays fit. Hopefully we can get nearly 90 minutes out of him. If so, I reckon I'm going to go 2-2. I think it'll be a good game. And look, it's not trying to be negative, trying to be realist on it. Like you said, going and beating now doesn't mean winning every game, does it? You know, go in there, take a point. I think the key game is the home game against Leicester, isn't it? That's the key game we need to try and win before the World Cup break. So I'd take a point there and then hopefully beat Leicester at home. So I'm going to go 2-2.
Pete?
Yeah, beat me to it. I hate it when someone does the same prediction you were going to do, because then it just looks like you're copying the other person, and I'm really not. Yeah, I was going to say goals galore, 2-2. I think it could be a really open, expansive, interesting game. I hope we get the win, but yeah, I think it'll be a tight contest, 2-2.
I'm going to be ultra positive, and I think we're going to nick it 2-1. I think we can certainly go there and cause issues, as we've shown. they've dragged me back in yet again. And I was thinking Everton come in the league after a great performance. But I think it will be a good game. You know, they are a decent side. They really are. They got goals in them. As I say, the home record is good. But I think, you know, we've shown away from home at times this season. You know, with I think Southampton away was a decent performance. Leeds and Brentford at times, I think there were just some really good moments in those games. So no fear going to Fulham, but I'm going to say Everton win 2-1. And it's the half five game on Saturday. So slightly later kickoff time as well. So we will look forward to that. But that's us for this week. As I say, all eyes on Craven Cottage now next week, and we'll be back ourselves next weekend to look back on that Fulham game and look ahead to the visit of Leicester City to Goodison Park, hopefully with Brendan Rodgers still in charge. So we will catch you then.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.